this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Today is International Orphan Sunday, and we've got the wonderful privilege as Shofar to be joining with thousands of other churches across the globe. And we're going to just open up our hearts to what the Lord is wanting to do in His body at this present time, in terms of what His heart is. And so, a little bit awkward, but I'm going to show you the video clip, and then another video clip, and then we're going to get together and pray. Thanks.
Today we join with thousands of believers all across the globe to turn our hearts towards what is really a priority for the heart of God, and that is looking after children who are vulnerable and at risk. Here in our context in South Africa, we have more than 3.7 living in children-headed households. Today we have a wonderful opportunity to look at these statistics, not through the lens of doom and gloom, but through the eyes of faith and a humble sense of gratitude that God has called us in His infinite wisdom and mercy and has equipped us to make a difference in the lives of these children, one child at a time. We are thankful for you. We are thankful that you have decided to partner with us. Up to date in 2016 alone, we have received more than 450,000 rand from congregation members like you. So thank you so much for every prayer. Thank you so much for every donation. Thank you so much for every word of encouragement that you have given. Thank you for your time in volunteering at our Keep With Kids homes in Johannesburg and in Stellenbosch. We're excited about the homes opening up in Somerset West and in Franschhoek in 2017. And as we, just together with the rest of the body of Christ, as we take a few minutes to pray, let's not just pray, but let's listen to what God is wanting to say to us as individuals, couples, families, and as local congregations. We as Keep With Kids, we're so honored to be able to serve the Shofar movement. In this great calling, this very exciting and adventurous calling God has given us to look after the vulnerable children all around us. This year already, we've been around to a few congregations to conduct workshops on orphan care and fostering. And we would love to be of service to you. So if you have any question, if you would like us to come to your congregation, if you yourself as an individual or as a family, if you would like to get involved, do make contact with us. We are here to serve you. We are here to enable you to fulfill the dream that God has also put in your heart. And let's remember as we take a few minutes now to look at this video clip and afterwards to pray, let's remember that at one stage of our lives, each one of us, we were orphans. Until Father God, through the life of His Son and the power of His Spirit, came looking for us, took us home, and made us sons and daughters of the Most High God. The Lord bless you.
My child, you are my work of art. My hands have molded you from birth. But my heart aches. I see my children who are hurting. They're cast aside like worthless clay. I long to restore, heal, and make beautiful. Will you join me? My hands will guide yours. There is much to do and much joy to find. And don't be surprised when my children mold you. I work in their lives through you, and in your life through them. come, be like me to my little ones. Love them as I love them. Love them as I have loved you.
It's a great privilege to be part of a church that loves that which God loves. Amen. And that we are able to grow together as different congregations into that vision the Lord has given us. And we're going to spend a few minutes at the end of the service praying for the orphans in our town. We're going to spend a few minutes praying for ourselves to really hear from God. What is God saying to us? And I'm going to share a little bit around some of the plans that we have for next year. But first of all, I'm going to read a few verses with you. If you have brought your Bibles along, if you can turn your Bibles, just follow on the screen with me, and I'm going to lay the foundation, and we're going to pray, and I hope not to keep you too long. Eugenia set a wonderful standard last week of what can be done within a few minutes, so I'm going to try and keep up with him. So Matthew 18 verse 19, we had an incredible time yesterday. We had Encounter 2. Encounter 2 is our one of our foundation series where we come together and we talk a little bit about what is church and what is God's purpose for us as a church. And right in the middle of this Encounter series is this whole concept of agreement, this whole concept of symphony. The fact that God has brought us together within a community of believers to come into agreement. And that there is no greater power that God has given humanity than the power of agreement. That there where there's agreement between individuals, between a family, between a couple, between communities, between people in a nation, literally nothing is impossible. We see that one of the first and probably the biggest challenge ever given to God's sovereignty and given to God's power was when people came into agreement against God. When there was a united effort for people to exalt themselves against God, and God in actual fact said that nothing will be impossible for these people. And so agreement can be used for destruction, or agreement can be used to further the purposes in the kingdom of God. And that's obviously why we come together on a Sunday morning like this, and why we have small group, and why we pray for each other, and why we have Bible school and our foundation courses, because we understand that if we really want to be the people God has called us to be, it's not just good enough to just come together and just from time to time rub shoulders, from time to time say, we're going to that church. That's not good enough if we want to change the world. If we want to change the world as God has called us to be, salt and light, then we need to harness the power of agreement. We need to come to an understanding, what is God saying to us? And then we need to harness our faith and agree and say, God, as your will is being done in heaven in this area, we're going to pray now for the orphans. God, what is your heart for the orphans? What is your heart towards them? And can that heart and can that will manifest through our lives? And can we come into agreement as far as that is concerned? And in Matthew 18, verse 19, Jesus says, and the Amplified Version expounds on that beautifully, says, again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, harmonize together, make a symphony together about whatever, anything and everything, and we know within the context of hermeneutics, that means whatever flows into the will of God and flows out of the will of God. If any of us agree concerning anything concerning the will of God, we may ask and it will come to pass and will be done for us by our Father in heaven. If we agree, if we come into agreement. And one of the reasons why we encourage people to share words, and one of the reasons why this church is not going to be awesome because we've got an awesome preacher. This church is going to be awesome because we got people who come into agreement, who synergize, who each one brings their bit, and together we form what God wants us to form. And so in my heart, I just this morning had the sense that, you know, as we were worshiping and as I was praying for the service, that the Lord is wanting to just open our ears to understand the beauty of the sound of agreement. That when we are in agreement, as we spoke about a few weeks ago, when we agree with God, we literally can cause heaven to take note of what's going on earth. When we praise God, when we praise Christ for what he has done for us, we come into alignment with what heaven is saying. And when we agree on God's purposes, we can release a lot of the provision, a lot of the momentum, the impetus behind heaven. And I know for a fact that I'm up against things in my life where my own personal willpower, my own personal effort simply isn't good enough. I need heaven's backing. I need to understand and to be convinced that I'm not by myself. I'm not just a guy going for a walk somewhere hoping for the best. I'm actually aligning my life with the purposes of God. I'm actually saying, God, I am going to be an instrument in your kingdom that I believe you are going to use to cause damage to the kingdom of darkness. Because this is the reality. We are in a war. We are those that God has called to plunder hell and to populate heaven. That's what God has put us here on earth for. And the beauty about this congregation, the beauty about us as we're sitting here, is that we are here because at one stage there was agreement between a few people. They said the church in Stellenbosch was not just going to remain a church in Stellenbosch, it was going to plant a church in Somerset West. Had it not been for that agreement, we would not have been here in this venue, singing these songs, knowing each other the way that we do. Does that make sense to you? There was an agreement. There was a vision that says we're going to take the love of Christ, the fact that Christ saves, he heals, he delivers, he sets free. We're going to take that love to the nations and to the generations of the earth. And one of the places it's going to happen is in Somerset West. There was agreement, and someone had to say yes. Someone like Pastor Theo had to say, yes, that vision lives in my heart as well. I want to see the love of Christ manifest in this town. And because there was agreement, something was born. And here you sit and here I stand and preach at you. Who knows where you would have been? Who knows where I would have been? Who knows to whom I would have preached had there not been that agreement? So agreement is not just something theoretical. It has a very real, very deliberate impact upon the lives of people. Who knows what else can be birthed through us as we come into agreement? So agreement is not an option. Agreement is something powerful, and I believe it's something the Lord wants to just harness through us. And many of you have done Encounter 2, and so you've seen this video clip, but I just want to show this to you again, because the beauty of agreement is that not all of us have to have the same volume. Not all of us have to sound the same. We each simply need to do our part to create the symphony that God speaks about. And so I want to show you this video clip. If you have seen it, open up your heart and trust the Holy Spirit to stir something in your heart again. If you haven't seen it yet, I believe it's going to bless you. Awesome DJ at the back. Do your thing, my man. Isn't that beautiful? It's amazing. And I know God's heart for us is that none of us would simply just be a lone instrument out there. It's lonely out there, even if you've got a very good instrument. And that none of us will be spectators just observing and looking at how awesome and how beautiful this is, but that each one of us will come and we will lend our voice to the symphony of agreement around God's purposes. And just thinking yesterday when we had encounter 2 and the weekend before that we had encounter 3, just thinking how many of you are adding your voice and adding your instruments, it's such a privilege. It takes such a lot of weight from my shoulders and for your shoulders to know that together we are making a beautiful noise, a beautiful sound to heaven. I want to encourage you to continue to pray into what is your instrument? What is your voice? But to bring that in together to trust the Lord that we can be the sound that He wants us to be here in the Yaldabaoth. And I believe that there's a symphony God is wanting to release. There's a sound He's wanting to release over this area. Around 2 things, obviously many more than just those 2, but particularly Luke 5, 6 to 7. Again, a verse I know that all of us know well. But allow me just to read it for us. Jesus, of course, calls His disciples and He calls them to be fishers of men. And so He encounters them trying to catch fish and they having a tough time, and eventually He gives them an instruction. They obey Him. And verse 6 says, and when they had done this, when they cast their nets out again on the other side, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. And by the way, you will see that from time to time, we make some changes to the way we do things. You know, sometimes, like we had an evening service at one stage, we did away with the evening service and we're probably going to have an evening service again. We're going to change a few things around, and the only reason why we're changing them is because we're out on the sea of the Yaldabaoth trying to catch fish. That's why we exist. It's the only reason why we are here. The only reason why we are having church is to make sure that we bring in the fish, to bring in the harvest, to bring in the souls, to bring in those that don't know that Christ is a loving, saving, healing, delivering master who loves us. And so we want to ask that when we make change, that you would exercise your faith with us. And we trust the Lord that we're hearing His voice. We know that you would hear His voice as well. And so if you maybe feel God is saying, no, cast your net over there. There's an area that we're missing. Come and talk to us so we can get in those fish that need to come in. Something amazing is happening. Their nets start breaking. Wouldn't it be amazing when these chairs are too few and because of the fish coming in? We don't just want to move saved people around. We want to get the lost saved. Amen. We want to get the lost saved. We want to get people saved who don't know Christ's love. And I'm trusting the Lord that our nets will be breaking as they come in. Something amazing happens here, verse 7. It says, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and they filled both the boats so that they began to sink. And here I see a symphony, a harmony between these two boats, singing fishermen as they bring in the harvest for the one boat. The harvest is too big, and so they ask their friends, come and join us, come and help us. And I believe the key there was the agreement between them. This is what we do. We are fishermen. We've been called to fish. We have been called believers for the non-believers. We have been called not just to sit back and wait for Jesus to rapture us, wait for things to change and to go to heaven. We have been called to fish. So I want to ask you that when we pray, even as we pray for 2017, that we would all maybe come back and just say, yes, I'm putting my hand up to be a fisherman again. Because I was once a lost fish swimming around in the ocean at the mercy of every great white that wanted to come along and gobble me up until a Savior found me. Okay, and brought me home. So I'm trusting God that you would make an awesome noise with us as you're going to continue to trust the Lord to bring in the fish. There's something so beautiful about symphonizing with God. And I just want to show you a picture. Okay, Luke 1 to Luke 3 speaks about the birth of Christ. You can go and read the Gospels. But there's this beautiful symphony that takes place between heaven, this agreement between heaven and what happens on earth. So God initiates this whole process. Remember, God sends the angel to Mary and says, you will become pregnant. And then Mary has a choice. So God initiates it. As God initiated calling us to be fishers of men. As God initiates calling us to look after the widows and the orphans. That is God's idea. Getting people saved, it's not Heinrich's idea. It's not a shofar idea. It's not something unique to shofar that makes shofar special. It's God's idea. For this reason he has called us. That is, so we can be fishers of men. He called us to himself away from this other stuff we were doing so that he can make us fishers of men. I often ask myself this. What happens to a fisherman after a while? If you're around him, you'll probably notice that he begins to smell like fish. Am I still smelling of fish? Am I around people that don't know the Lord? Am I putting out the bait of his love to them? That's why my running for me is, I envy many of you guys, because you work amongst unbelievers and you work amongst people who don't know Christ yet. We've got to work at it a little bit harder. We've got to look for opportunities. So I go to the neighborhood watch and I go to the running because I want to be around people who don't know Christ so that I can reach out to them. Have you lost your smell of fish? Are you stinking a bit? Is there a bit of a stink to you? Is there a bit of a stench to you? Respectfully, okay, don't call people that don't know the Christ, don't know the Lord. Don't say that they stink, okay? That's not what I meant, all right? But you know what I meant. We need to be around unbelievers. We need to have them as our friends. We need to have them as our neighbors so that we can be salt and light to them. But they need to know that we're different. They need to know that there's something that's different to our lives. And I believe that God initiated this whole plan to get the world saved. God, as God initiated sending Jesus to come and live as a human being. And here's the amazing thing. This was God's plan. Christ is going to come. God, perfect, fully God, is going to come. He's going to become human. And he needed a human womb for that to happen. And so that great plan of God, depended upon a little girl saying yes. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it boggles your understanding that God, as sovereign as he is, chooses to make his plan subject to human agreement. Of course, he could have chosen to do it any other way, but he chose to have a lamb slain for the sins of the world, and that lamb had to come as a human being, and that lamb could only come as a human being if another human being said yes. So here's the rub. God's plan for the Elderberg, for the fish that don't know Christ, depends on human beings like me and you saying yes to that plan. Awesome responsibility, isn't it? But amazing, adventurous, exciting possibility as well that God chooses to use us and we can say yes, Father. Maybe that's all that some of us need to do this morning. Maybe that's the place where some of us just need to get to again, where we will just say yes. Lord, my womb is available. Then something else that happens, Mary responds, but you know what? If Joseph didn't decide to partner with what God was doing, Jesus probably would have grown up in a single parent family. At best, if Jesus and Mary's story were to happen today in America, or maybe here with us, Jesus probably would have been aborted. Because mom was definitely crazy saying that God was the father. You know, and being mentally unstable is good enough nowadays to abort a baby. But yet there was a man that said, yes. God, yes. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand this. I don't know why my plans have to be disrupted now. My beautiful plan for my beautiful fiance is all of a sudden being turned upside down. And we have to live with the stigma of the community thinking that we're crazy, that either I'm lying and I really made her pregnant, but I don't want to own up to it, or somebody else slept with my wife and made her pregnant. You understand the context? He had to say yes to God's purposes. So I will partner with you, God, and I will make my life available to cherish this child. Jesus was the first orphan, really. But this heavenly father to look after him physically, another dad had to come and say, I'm going to take you as my own. I'm going to adopt you. You're going to be my boy. Then there were other people. Elizabeth. When Mary comes to her, something happens to her womb, and she says, oh, the mother of my Lord and Savior. Can you imagine? Nobody believed Mary. Everybody thought that she was crazy. It took an angel to appear to her fiancé to convince him this was from God. I've had some disagreements with my wife, and I sometimes had to say, God, I can't do this. You need to convince her. All of us have been in moments like that, but there's some serious convincing, wouldn't you agree? You need an angel. Joseph had to hear from God directly. He wasn't going to believe anything else except a voice from heaven saying, this is the woman, marry her. And here he comes to Elizabeth. And Elizabeth says, oh, you're the mother of my Lord. I mean, for the first time, another human being says, out of her own accord, what's in you is from God. I think that changed her life. I think that did something to her. And that's the power God gives us. Anna and Simeon, when they met the baby Jesus, they said, we've been praying for this baby our entire lives, and here you come. Another encouragement to Mary and to Joseph. So you're not crazy. It wasn't just a figment of your imagination. You were on the right track. They were all synergizing, all together, making a beautiful symphony in harmony concerning this child that had to come into the world. And then, of course, there were the wise men. Guys who saw the star, followed the star, brought their gold, their myrrh, and their frankincense. And that baby could be transported from Israel, away from the king that hated him, to Egypt, funded there to live there for 2 years and to come back. Those wise men had to say yes. They had to bring their gifts and together form the beautiful symphony. Beautiful sound around this baby child, the Christ, our Savior. And today, with every other purpose of God, it's still the same. Without a symphony of agreement, it doesn't happen. God initiates it. We partner with Him. Look at this beautiful verse that all of us know in James 1:27. Pure and unblemished religion, as it is expressed in outward acts, in the sight of God and in the sight of our God and Father, is this: to visit and look after the fatherless and the widows in their distress, and to keep oneself uncontaminated by the secular world. This is God initiates this. He says, the orphans are my priority. The widows are my priority. The single moms are my priority. Those in prison are my priority. I'm trusting God that some of us here will have in their hearts a passion for those in prison. Come to us and say, how can we do this? We can pray together. As pastors, we have the wonderful opportunity to mix with incredible people. And this week, I had a breakfast with our NGOs, Bridging Abilities, Tony and Candace's NGO that deals with kids and adults who are physically handicapped. And just listening to Tony speaking and sharing her heart about their dream to have events, sporting events. There are no such events on a consistent basis. We've got a summer camp coming up at the end of the year for our youth. If you've got young people at school, please invite them to attend it. But there's no sporting camp. There's no camp for people physically handicapped. No consistent sporting events. And that lives in their heart. And I'm sitting there, I'm listening to their dream, and I'm sitting in the presence of someone who's living her life sacrificially. I'm listening to the guys from Precorus and Keepwick Kids and the other NGOs who were there. I'm thinking, God, we are surrounded by incredible people. I wish I had just like all the money I could just go and do what God has called you to do. We are surrounded with people who love the Lord and who are living it. And I believe God has called us to come into agreement with that. One step at a time. And I know many of you have got incredible dreams in your heart as well. And we would love to partner with you. Just some statistics for us, all right? Just in the Strand area. Again, this is just the statistics from the RC Fear, not from the other welfare organizations. In the Strand area, in the Strand, that includes Lwandle and Mzamo as well. These are just the official statistics. There are a lot of statistics that are not official or that have not been recorded yet. We've got 23 children who are in temporary places of safety. That means 23 children who have been removed from their homes because of severe abuse, and where their homes are the unsafest place for them to be. And so they put in temporary places of safety. We've got 257 children in foster care in Strand area. We've got 347 children who are severely neglected. In other words, there's nobody to look after them. They suffer from severe neglect, physically, educationally, relationally, different levels. We've got 39 children who are ready for adoption. Okay, they don't have a place to go. They've been screened, healthy, and they're ready for adoption. We've got 32 children that we know of without a mom and a dad, where both mom and dad have died. Okay, that's just in one area. And we trust in God that we will be able to plant a Kipwick Kids home in the Strand area. Okay, that's what we're praying about. And this is my appeal to you, that you would add your voice to us to make a little difference. We've got over 400 children who need a home, just in the Strand, Mzamo, Lwandle area. Over 400 children. And our desire is that one step at a time, one child at a time, we'll be able to father the fatherless. And so I always believe in getting practical. Again, so we've been praying, we've been trusting God and saying, Lord, we don't just want a home and then later on have to worry about the mom that needs to take care of those children. And we believe that God has called many of you guys to open up your homes to foster or to adopt or to make your home available as a temporary place of safety for these kids. And so many of you will do that. Many of you are already doing that. Many of you are already fostering kids. Many of you are already adopting kids. Many of you will continue to do that. Most of you probably will not in that sense. Okay, even though it's my prayer that many of us will move in that direction. But all of us can add a voice. All of us can pray. Okay, and I want to ask you that you would pray with us because the Lord has been so incredibly good to us. He's provided a house mom. So it's the first time really within our Keep Our Kids history that we start with a mom first. Someone who loves the Lord dearly. Someone who's passionate about the Lord. Someone who's passionate about kids. Who's not just doing this for a career move. Who comes to be trained and then later on goes on and does something else. Okay, and so Kuabi Aubrey, she's, just go to the next slide. I think there's a picture of her. She's at this present moment the office manager for the Shofar Rondebosch office. Okay, in Rondebosch. And the Lord has laid it on her heart that she wants to open up her heart and she wants to become a foster mom for kids. Right? So she has resigned and she's moving to Somerset West in January. Okay? And so I want to ask you that you would pray with us for her because she was the most crucial cog in the whole deal. We've got the furniture. Many of you have given the furniture for us. We've got a lot of clothes that have been given. We trust in the Lord for the home either to rent initially or to buy. Okay? But the most important bit is the mom that needs to disciple those kids. And so I want to ask you as a congregation, she's a stranger to us, but she's going to move here. She's going to become part of our congregation, that you would adopt Kuabi. Okay? Can we do that? Can we love her? Can we surround her with just affection? Can we open up a home? She needs a temporary place, maybe 2 or 3 months, just so she can find a job. She has resigned, so she needs to find a job. There are some awesome possibilities. She's looking for a half-day job so that she can still look after the babies that the Lord is going to give her. Okay, so pray for the right location. We need to trust the Lord to show us where in Strand we need to have the home. Pray for those children. We can take a maximum of 6 children. We're going to grow with Kuabi. We're not going to just, I wanted to use the word dump, or that's the wrong word to use, just overwhelm her with 6 children immediately. We're going to grow with her in her capacity. Pray for the children. God has already preparing their hearts, and we need to know who they are, that the Lord will lead us to the right people. Then I want to ask that you would pray about giving monthly or maybe once off towards the rent or the purchase of a home. Okay, we first want to just rent so we can grow with her, but ultimately we want to purchase a home, and later on we trust in the Lord that we will have a few moms, and ideally speaking, even couples. Some of you men might need to pray for her in another way, but that's completely between you and the Lord. But ideally speaking, have couples. Don't be so serious. Okay, that's a joke. To trust the Lord to bring us to the place where we will have a few of these homes right across the Alderburg area where you can take care of the kids. And then, of course, I believe that many of us can do is to volunteer our time to babysit, maybe to clean up the house for once in a while, mow the lawn, fix the car, whatever it is that we need to do. Okay, on a practical level, to add our voice to the symphony of the Father singing over the orphans in this area. And so I want to ask us that we would now take some time, that we would start and we would pray. And my biggest appeal to you is that we will not just pray for 2 minutes. Please do pray for 2 minutes. But that we will also listen. Because your voice is a personal voice. Okay? I can't tell you how you need to sing. I think sometimes some of you want to tell me how to sing, and I can understand that because you have to listen to me sing sometimes, and I've got sympathy for you, but you know, we can't dictate to each other how to sing and how loud it needs to be. That's between you and the Lord. God has given you a voice. So we would partner this morning once again and say, God, we want to be fishers of men. I want to add my voice. And God, we want to look after the widows, the orphans, those in prison, and I want to add my voice. Right, so not a major spiritual message, but James says, true spirituality is being practical about our love, being practical about our faith. Amen? Amen? Okay, let's turn to each other and let's pray. You can use that as a guide. Father, I thank you, Lord, that as we're here this morning, Lord, that we can come and we can just lift up our hearts before you. Thank you, Lord, that you would come this morning, that you would stir our faith. You would stir, Lord God, our compassion. And Lord, I also thank you that you don't just want us to be, Here, even though we're emotionally opgesweep raak, Here, it's not about the emotions. But it's about what you've done for us, Here, and out of this, what out of our hearts can flow. So I thank you, Here, daarom dat ons vanoggend kan kom en dat ons, Here, op 'n baie nugter manier vanoggend kan dink oor die feit, U het ons geroep om vissers van mense te wees. Dis duidelik, dit is 'n onvoldonge feit, daar's geen twyfel oor dit, en ek bid, Here, dat U vir ons gaan in staat stel vanoggend, just to bring our hearts to you, to allow you once again to maybe just quicken our senses to the fish, Lord, out there that you have called us to bring in. And Father, thank you as well that, Lord, we can just make a peace with the fact that you are a great and awesome God, but you have chosen to reveal yourself as a loving Father. And out of that place, Lord, we thank you that we can bring this Helderberg before you with all of its needs, but specifically this morning, we are praying for those kids, Lord, who have no one to fight for them. Use our prayers this morning, Father, to change someone's life. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Then just there where you're standing, just take the hand of somebody standing next to you. And I just want to commit us to the Lord's care as a congregation. Father, we thank you, Lord, that as we can just stand this morning, Lord, that we can stand, Lord, under your covering and the agreement, Lord, of your love for us, Lord. Thank you that this morning our spirits are in agreement with you. You have given us the spirit of adoption, Lord, that lives inside of us, and that moments when we doubt, in moments, Lord, when circumstances don't want to agree, that our spirits, that spirit of adoption, can agree with your spirit, that we are sons and daughters of God, that we are not strangers, that we are not rejected, that we do not need to carry any shame because of our sin, but that we have been welcomed home, that we are your sons and your daughters, that you have inscribed us on the palm of your hand. Thank you for that agreement, Father, and thank you that you are creating, Lord, in our midst and between us, Lord, a spirit of beautiful symphony and agreement, Lord. Thank you for the many things that were birthed through this congregation throughout all the years, Father, leading up to this moment, where men, Lord God, and women, many or few, came together and gave birth to your purposes here. Thank you for what you are busy birthing right now. Thank you, Lord, that you are the same yesterday and today, Lord God, and forevermore. Lord, and we can know that these are all your dreams, Lord. That we can trust you with the provision. We can trust you, Lord, with everything that is needed. But Father, we come humbly before you, Lord, and we agree and open up, Lord, to say, use us. We know you can use anyone. We know, Lord, you can go to any congregation. You can go to any people. But thank you for coming to us as well. And we want to say, Lord God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here in our midst, here in Shofar Summers of the West, in our lives, Lord, as individuals and as families, Lord, and as a congregation. Let your purposes be established in us and through us, Lord. We love you. We thank you for the privilege we have to call you Daddy. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, saints. Have an amazing afternoon. If you want to chat a little bit more about Keep Where Kids, chat to me, chat to Gera, chat to Eugene Eintema. The Lord love you. Have an amazing time. Please remember your kids. Don't forget to collect them and give the kids' church people a nice big hug. Bless you.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.